Church, and they had one of the first jubilees, meeting called Jubilee, the South ever knew anything about. I'm talking 50 years ago. And they said there one night, they was in the meeting, and somebody was preaching, and Mays Jackson was moderator. And said he's sitting on the front row, and a preacher named A.G. Wall, you know A.G., was sitting beside of him. Mays reached over there and grabbed A.G. by the knee and went, "Glory to God, son, did you feel that?" He said, "Yep, felt your hand on my leg." But it is good to be here tonight. Acts chapter number 27. It's good to be with Brother Ronnie again. After what I've been through, man, I'm like Minnie Pearl, glory to God. I'm just glad to be anywhere. And we did have to take about 2 months off from preaching. That was difficult in itself. And then we've just moved our church and taken on a big old debt. Trying not to think about it right now. And all of that in the midst of it. But we've been having fun just watching God do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And speaking of Brother Scott's grandfather, him and my dad used to preach together back in the late 50s and early 60s. And I was trying to get Scott to tell you about the newspaper. He told you some of it, but them articles would come out in the paper. If you remember, a day or two after he died, one of his articles he had written a week before came out. And I'll tell you what, we were talking about it today. Well, look at this pretty girl with that glass of water. You married? I'm looking for a wife for my son. As dumb as he is, I'll have to get one for him. He won't ever get one by himself. Ronnie Barfield is one of his heroes, so what does that tell you? His expectation is not. No, I'm just kidding. But I was talking to your pastor today, Dr. Adrian Rogers, gone to be with the Lord. Dr. Vines is not pastoring now. Men like Scott's grandpa, my father, and different ones that were not only preachers, but they were leaders. They kept liberalism at bay. They kept modernism at bay. Their presence, their voice did something. And I'll tell you, we've not replaced that generation as fast as we've lost that generation. And I'm like your pastor. If I didn't believe in the sovereignty of God, I'd be a whole lot more bald-headed than I am now. You'll get that after a while. I'd be in about as shape as your song leader, but I'll tell you, God is God. And you got to just stake your claim on that. And I do believe, I really believe, that Jesus is coming soon. I believe God's getting His bride ready. I believe when Jesus comes, we're going to be so glad about it. We're going to be able to say like John the Revelator, "Amen, even so." I don't think we're going to be singing, "Wait a little longer, please, Jesus." I believe we're going to be singing, "Bring it on. Let's go right now." Because He is a wonderful Savior. And we're all looking forward to that day when we stand in that city. Lord God, they get to that last verse and I think about old time preacher man. Looking on the face of the one that he preached about. Walking on them streets of gold and swinging on them gates of pearl. I got to think about Ralph Sexton Sr., that old mountain preacher. He used to preach on why the gates are made of pearl. Lord have mercy. And can you imagine the day he walked in and swung on one of them gates? I can hear him now say, "Lord God, children, it's as good as I thought it was going to be." Amen. And heaven's real. That was a great preacher in our state named Dr. C.L. Roach. I don't know if you ever got to hear Brother Roach before, but he had the mind of John Phillips and the fervor of Mays Jackson. Just a great, great preacher. Died of cancer, 64 years old. But he was laying there in the bed, dying. Dr. Bob Darty, one of his buddies for many, many years, walked up to him and said, "C.L., how you doing?" He said, "Oh, Bob, you ought to see it." He said, "What?" He said, "Lord, son, it's a beautiful." He said, "The singing, can you hear it?" He said, "No." He said, "Oh, it's beautiful." He said, "What is it?" He said, "It's just great." He said, "Bob, you go back and tell all the people that heard me preach for 45 years, it's real." He said, I've been there, and I've seen enough, and I've heard enough. Go back and tell them. It's real. It's real tonight. And I'm glad tonight for the reality of our God. Acts chapter number 27. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And unless the Lord directs us in a different vein, we'll be here for the next three nights. Like what one writer said, if all that's recorded in this passage was just some kind of storm they went through, as valuable as space is in the Bible, I don't believe the Lord would have told us the details. But there's more in this text than just them going through some kind of a storm. Because there's nothing unusual about a storm. You hang around the ocean long enough, you're going to see a few of them. And evidently, there are some spiritual truths in this storm that can be applied to your life and in mine that God deemed so important that He gave them to us in this text. I'm going to deal with one of them tonight. We'll break in this chapter in the 22nd verse. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. I want to stop and say in verse 22, that's good news, isn't it? That nobody is going to lose their life. That's good news. Look in verse number 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. I want to say, that's good news, isn't it? That right in the midst of that storm, God showed up. I'm glad the storm was not so ferocious that it scared God away. And I want to say the enormity of your burden has not frightened God in giving you grace and mercy to endure the affliction. There stood by me this night an angel of God. That's really good news. Notice what he said in verse 24, saying, fear not. 89 times in the Bible God said, fear not. Saying, fear not, Paul. For thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Would you agree with me tonight that that's some more good news?
Yeah.
We gonna make it.
Yeah,
we gonna make it. Man, that's good news. Look in verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. That's some more good news, isn't it? That it shall be even as it was told me. That's some more good news. That God has not lied in what He has said. Well, beginning in verse 22 or down through verse number 25, that's some good news. God is with us. God is real. God's word is true. And we're going to make it through the storm. Notice verse 26, and here's my text. How be it? And I want to preach tonight on the how be it's of life. How be it, we must be cast upon a certain island. Yes, God is real. Yes, we are going to make it. Yes, God's word is true. But how be it, we must be cast, being saved, will not exempt you from the how be it's of life. May I submit this to you tonight, that being in the center of the perfect will of God will not exempt you from the how be it's of life. May I remind you tonight that faithful church attendance and a wonderful tithing record and being separated from the world is wonderful and it is great. But it will not exempt you and I from the howbeits of life. There are some things that you and I are going to face no matter how saved we are. How dedicated we are. How fervently we serve God. There are some howbeits of life. The word howbeit in Southern means Regardless of how much we love God, something bad's going to happen. Now, I wish I could stand up and tell you like the television preachers do, whoo, something good's going to happen to you today. But you may go several days and nothing good happened to you. You may live several years and nothing good happened to you. You may have several moments in your life when you feel like nothing is right and everything is wrong, and one burden and one trouble and one trial out of another, and that doesn't have anything to do with whether you're saved or not, or in the will of God or not, or upslid or backslid or not. How be it? I'm saved tonight. How about you? I'm hell-proof tonight. How about you? I'm as good for heaven if I was already there. Because I'm already positionally seated with Christ. John the Revelator saw me in that number. Amen. Bless God, it wasn't a bunch of drunks and sinners wearing golden crowns and white robes singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." I was in that number. I'm saved, I'm hell-proof, I'm on my way to glory, I couldn't go to hell no matter how many people tell me to. I'm saved. I'm in the will of God. I'm preaching, I'm pastoring, I'm serving God where God wants me to be. I'm trying my best to be the right kind of Christian. I'm trying to be the right kind of husband. If my wife would get saved, it would help me a lot. Brother Ronnie, I share your pain. And I'm in the will of God, and I'm trying to live for God, and I'm trying to do what's right. How be it? It does not exempt me from hospital rooms. It does not exempt me from doctor bills. It does not exempt me from bad phone calls in the middle of the night. I'm telling you, we are saved. God is good. God is great. And He loves us. And we're going to make it. We're going to heaven. We're saved forever. How be it? We must be cast upon a certain island. There are some things in this chapter that we have in the storm that will not exempt us from the storm. Paul says in these verses tonight that we have the presence of God. He said in verse number 25 tonight, "There stood by me this night the angel of God." And I'm not going to get in a theological argument with you over that, but I know who that is. I've met him too. "There stood by me this night the angel of God." God's presence was with them in the storm. I've heard people say, as long as God with you, as long as God is with you, no evil can befall you. No trouble can come to you. No sickness can come to you. You don't read that in the Bible. God's presence with us will not exempt us from the howbeits of life. God was with Paul. God stood by Paul. And I will remind you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that Paul was not in that boat out of the will of God. He was in that boat in the will of God, but it did not exempt him from facing the storm and even shipwreck. May I remind you that this text, they made it to the other side. But the ship did wreck. It blew apart. In fact, the Bible says they all made it safe to land. Some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. They did make it. And God was with them. And not one soul drowned in the ocean. God was with them. God showed up in that storm. God stood by Paul in that storm. They had the very presence of the sovereign God of heaven. But that did not exempt them from the howbeits of life. You say, "Preacher, if God was with me, this wouldn't be happening to me." I want to tell you, God's presence with you will not exempt you from the heartaches and the storms and the trials of life. They had God's presence. Howbeit, they were cast upon a certain island. Something else they had in this text, they had God's peace. For Paul said in the midst of that turbulent storm, be of good cheer. You know what God said? Fear not. Now, peace did not exempt them from the storm, but it carried them through the storm. May I submit to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that peace is not the exemption of troubles and trials and pain and suffering. Peace is faith and hope and courage in the midst of the storm. Have you ever bought something from the store? Take it to the house and you're looking through it and there's a little tag on it that says, inspected by such and such. You really don't know how good something is till it's been put to the test. I tell these young couples in our church that are sick with puppy love, if they're not careful, it can lead to a dog's life. But man, when you first meet and you first start courting and all of that, you'll never know what your marriage is made out of until it's been put to the test. You'll never know what your family is made out of until it's been put to the test. You pastors may or may not agree with me, but you'll really know what your church is made out of until it's been put to the test. And in fact, you don't even know what you're made of yourself. Someone said, man, God put me through this trial to see if I loved him or not. I got news for you. God knew whether you loved him or not before this trial ever came. He's sovereign. He's omniscient. He knows all things. God let you go through that trial so you would know whether you loved him or not. Someone said, man, God let me go through that so he would know what I was made of. God knew what we were made of a long time ago, dust and flesh. God put us through that. God let us go through that to see that we would know what we were made of. They have the peace of God. God says, fear not. Be of good cheer. It's going to be all right. God gave them peace in the storm. Howbeit, that did not exempt them from being cast upon that certain island. You say, preacher, I believe tonight the peace of God will keep the storms from coming to my life. It will help you till the storm passes by. They have the presence of God. They have the peace of God. Something else in this text, they had the promise of God. God made Paul a promise. Nobody is going to lose their life. Paul, every soul on this boat tonight, I have given them to you, and nobody is going to lose their life. I told you you would stand before Caesar. I'm giving you my promise. I'm giving you my word. And may I say to you tonight, when God gives you his promise, when God makes a declaration, you can carry that to the bank. God will keep his word. The promises of God will not fail. But that did not exempt them from the providence and the storms and the trials in their life. They have the promise of God. All of those souls on that boat, the Bible said, they had given up all hope that they would be saved. I don't know what this means to you, but one, I believe it's in verse number 15, they let her drive, and then in verse 20, all hope that they would be saved was taken away. I don't know how to interpret that. We let her drive, and all hope that we should be saved was taken away. I'm not going to interpret that. I'm just going to let you do that yourself. But everybody on that boat had given up hope. Yeah. We're not going to make it. 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 And brother, you can be around pessimistic people so bad you'll get that way yourself. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. But one man, stands up in the midst and says, shut up. I got something I want to say. We are going to make it. Because God came. and God spoke, and God said, and if God said it, that settles it. We've got His promise. We are going to make it. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Can I say this tonight? God has never made a promise that He cannot keep. God cannot lie. Man will lie. Politicians will lie. My soul, we got the best of them that money can buy. You'll get that after a while. Preachers will lie and churches will lie and religious leaders will lie. But God's Word is always true. You can bank on the promise of God. You can stake your eternal destiny on the promise of God. You can lay your head on your pillow on the promises of God. You can fold your hands in death and say like Jack Hayes, death ain't no big deal. You can do that in the promise of God. God's promise will not fail. God's promise is always true. The sky may fall and the sun may go out and the moon will drip in blood. But the promise of God is forever. How be it? That will not exempt you from the storms and the troubles and the trials of life. They had God's presence. They had God's peace. They had God's promise. But how be it, we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, what is an island? An island is a place that is surrounded by water. That's deep. I had to go to Bible college 4 years to figure that out. Now, water, after all of these 14 days, they're sick of it. They had been battling this water for 14 long days. And God said, I'm with you. You got my word. You got my peace. You got my promise. You got my presence. But you got to battle some more of it. In fact, God says, I'm going to put you in a place where you're surrounded by it. And I don't know about you, but islands speak of lonely places. Deserted places. You say, but God said, He would never leave me. He would never forsake me. He's right. He won't. But how be it? You'll get in some places that are deserted and lonely. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Have you ever thought you were surrounded by your trouble? The very thing they had been battling, they were surrounded by. And by the way, there are no bridges to islands in that day. There were no helicopters for islands that day. The only hope of them getting off of that island just got sunk out there in that ocean. And I'm telling you, along the journey of life, you can get stranded. You can get stuck on some lonely, deserted places. Someone said, in our trials, we ought to lift our hands and go, whoo! If you've ever been where I've been, you don't feel like going, whoo! Someone said, boy, I bet when you was laying up there in that hospital, you felt angels all around you. I ain't felt nothing but people poking on me. Oh, preacher, I bet, oh God, when you was up there, God was real to you. Yeah, He was real, but so was them needles and bruises. Someone said, boy, I bet God just gave you sermon after, so I didn't feel like reading the Bible. Oh, I bet laying up there in that hospital, whoo, you prayed and rung the bell. I didn't feel like praying. No, I bet up there in that hospital, preacher, you just lifted both hands and worshiped God like Job. My name ain't Job. My name is Joe. Well, how did you act? About the same way you did use up there. What's the matter with you, boy? Aren't you saved? Saved as saved can be. How be it? Is it your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? It sure is. Written in the blood of Jesus. And the devil cannot erase it. How be it? Aren't you in the will of God? Don't you believe the Bible? Don't you love God? Aren't you God's man? Don't you have the call of God upon your life? Aren't you filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, 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 yes. How be it? I got stranded on a deserted place. That's where Job found himself, in the sea of life. He got stranded on the island of despair. Job wakes up one morning thinking he's got the world by the tail, and before night comes, the world's got him by the throat. And one bad news after the other. Can I say the last thing you want if you're really sick is visitors? Well, they didn't come to see me when I was in the hospital. Some people came to see me. I wish they'd have stayed at home. Because some people's method of encouragement, I'll make a Calvinist out of you. Oh, God, I know somebody that died for that. Shut up! Shut up! I'm already about to lose my mind. My brother Billy Messer said it here tonight. Him and I had a mutual friend named Billy Kelly. I loved that man. There wasn't nothing I wouldn't do for him. There wasn't nothing he wouldn't do for me. So for about 25 years, we went around all over this country. We were doing nothing for one another. But in the early 70s, you remember it. Brother Billy's little boy, 9 months old, died and went to heaven. He said he died on the first day of spring. It never snows in South Carolina, hardly ever. And that particular morning, by the time they left the hospital with Paul David, and by the time they got out of the hospital, it had snowed 12 inches in Greenville. And he got out, and there were 2 flat tires. They had to call a cab. Halfway to Pelham, the cab got stuck. Another cab had to get them. Take them to a cab station. Wait 2 hours in a cold cab station while they put chains on the tires. He said, I thought I'd never want to see spring ever come again. He said, I was in the funeral home sitting beside that little white casket. And a preacher walked in and said, yep, I knew God would get you for bear hunting. A man like that ought to just keep his mouth shut. Brother, if we can't say something good to somebody when they're down, just shut up. As they say in the mountains, hush! What do y'all say down here? Shut up! I mean, brother, have you ever had a day? I don't want no more phone calls. I don't want no more knocks at the door. If don't say nothing to me, because it ain't going to be good. Anytime that phone rings past 12 o'clock, you know it ain't good. And all of us tonight are one phone call away from the darkest hour of our life.
Yeah.
Kevin Merritt called me when they discovered he had cancer in his colon. He said, now they're going to do this other test, and they think I'm going to be all right. One phone call. You got it in your liver. We had a young man in our church had esophagus cancer, and they did the surgery, and they said, man, it's great, you're cancer free. Yesterday, he got the report. I mean, it's Friday before Sunday. He got the report. It's in your liver. You got 6 months to live. One phone call. Scott and them were singing, having a great time. One phone call. Your pawpaw just went to heaven. And even though we know he went to heaven, there's still a brokenness and a loneliness in our heart. Brother Ronnie, you've been there. One phone call, one knock on the door, one message in the middle of the night can change our life. And Job wakes up one morning like any other morning, and one messenger, and then another one, and then another one, and then before the sun can set, and the evening time, he's reduced to poverty. His kids are dead. His finances is gone. His house is destroyed. And his own body begins to break under the fatigue of it. And somebody said, what is Job going to do? He shaves his head and rinsed his mantle and falls on the ground and said, the Lord give it, and the Lord take it, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what he did.
Yeah.
You say, well, I'll tell you right now, Job just went right with God. But the Bible said he was perfect.
Yeah.
Ah, bless God, he was carnal, is his problem. No, the Bible said he eschewed or shunned evil.
Yeah.
Well, I lay right now, I knew old Job wasn't made of nothing. Well, God thought he was made of something because he trusted him in the hands of the devil. Can he trust you at the hands of Satan like he did you? And you know the big picture. This battle between Satan and Job, the big picture, it ain't really between Satan and Job. It's between Satan and God. And Job's just the battleground. How many are old-fashioned enough to have this saying, you don't love me, or you don't love my family, you don't love me, blood's thicker than water. If my kids are not welcome, if my wife is not welcome, I'm not welcome. How many of you men tonight, boy, somebody mess with your woman makes you mad. Well, it's amazing to me, bless God, you can fuss it all day long, not get mad about it, but bless God, nobody else better not. Ain't we having a time tonight? God, you can criticize her for 12 days, but nobody else better not say nothing. There's something wrong with that picture. Come on, ladies, I'm trying to help y'all. There's something wrong with that picture. One man's got his wife's ears covered up. Ain't going to help none. I'll matter the notes, brother. You want to get at me? You mess with my family. You've got me. We are the bride of Christ. We are going to inherit the kingdom of God. We are the chosen bride of Christ. That's belly holding time right there, boy. I'm going to get me some designated runners for the next 6 months and just take them with me and go, run. Because I can't. We're going to stand in His presence. We're going to behold Him face to face. And Satan is tore up about it. Because he was the son of the morning. Oh, but he's not anymore. He's the prince of darkness. He's mad about that. And he hates you and I for that. And most of all, he hates God for that. So he's going to get at God by going through you and I. Oh, but I want to tell you something, buddy. God wouldn't worry about Job. He said, go ahead. I'll prove you. The devil said the only reason why that old boy serves you is because you've been good to him. And you let me take away all that good stuff and he'll curse you. And God said, I know better, but go ahead. I'll prove to Job you're nothing but a low-down liar. Son, the bell goes ding, and the boxing match begins. Over in one corner is old poor Job, and on the other side is the imps of hell. And some, the fur flies, and the toenails fly, and the dust flies. But about that time, the umpire said, that's enough! And the smoke is cleared, and the noise is settled, and the devil's leaning over the ropes with his tongue hung out, and Job's in the middle of the arena going, how I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand up another day upon the earth. He got stranded on the certain island, but he found that God was on the island too. Amen. He not only sails oceans, but he occupies deserted places. Job got stranded on the island of despair. Elijah on the Sea of Life found himself stranded on the island of discouragement. Man, he's on top of Mount Carmel. He's full of God. He's got the power of God shooting off his fingertips. And one loud-mouthed woman tears his nerves up. And after 25 years of pastoring, I've been there and done that one too. Yeah, boy. And old Jezebel sends him a message. I'm going to do to you what you did to them prophets. Here's the mistake he makes. Elijah leaves his servant. The Bible said he himself goes out into the wilderness. And it's hard enough to serve God when you got help. But when you get off out there by yourself, it really gets hard. Boy, he's out there under that juniper tree and he goes to sleep and he just gives up on God and he gives up on himself and he gives up on everybody and contemplates the thoughts of suicide. He said, I wish I was dead. He said, God, just take my life. Now, I don't think he really meant it. Just like you don't mean it when you say, I can't hardly wait to go to heaven. You got Dr. Bill's a mile long. Someone said, Brother Joe, when that surgeon come in and said you may not wake up, did that bless you? No, it scared me to death. You say, aren't you ready to go? Yep, but I don't want to go now. I want to go deer hunting a few more times. Woo! Lord God, I'm homesick for heaven. I want to go someday, but I don't want someday to be today nor tomorrow. I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave my friends. You say, ain't you longing to see Jesus? Yeah, but I want to do it in a rapture. Oh, my. You say, aren't you afraid? No, I'm not afraid. I just don't want to go right now. You say, preacher, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Yeah, when? But I'm telling you, you can get so overwhelmed with your burdens, you wish you were dead. You'd think you're better off dead. And the thoughts of taking your life can even cross your mind. I mean, here is Elijah on Mount Carmel, got the power of God on his fingertips, slain the false prophets, and less than a chapter later, he's under the juniper tree wishing he was dead. He got stranded on the lonely island of discouragement. And I've been there. You've been there. And if you're not, sail on a few fathoms, and you'll be there. But you know what I love about God? When we give up on God, he never gives up on us. You know, I saw this the other day and I got to hurry. Elijah says, I'm done. And then God shows up and says, no, you're not done. I've got you some goodies from glory. Eat this, for the journey is too great for thee. Son, I saw that and had me a shouting spell. I had to hold my stomach, but I had me a shouting spell. Elijah says, I'm done. And God said, oh no, I got another journey out there you've never been before, but you can't make it by yourself. But I'm going to give you what you need to make the journey. I'm glad God is with us, and he is our provision, and he is our fortress. But how be it, there's the island of discouragement. John the Baptist found himself stranded on the island of doubt. Man, I've heard them high-powered evangelists say, if you've ever doubted your salvation, you're not saved.
That's right.
If you've ever doubted God, you don't know God.
You're right.
I'll tell you one thing. If doubting means nobody knows God, John Baptist didn't get in. You say, well, what kind of man will see? Some old kind of heathen, some old kind of liberal preacher? Well, put it this way, he had his first shouting spell before he was ever born. He's full of the Holy Ghost and never even spoke in tongues. I don't know how that happened. Woo! From his mother's womb. Baptized Jesus. And he'd baptize a whole lot of people. He never baptized somebody like that. Son, I believe when John grabbed hold of him, I believe he felt a surge from the glory world. Put him in that liquid grave. Brought him out of that liquid grave. And God thundered from glory. And he heard it. He didn't just sense it. He heard it. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Proof positive. And guess who it was that said, look a yonder. There he is. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John said, I've been trying to tell y'all that one's a coming. And I'm going to tell you that I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. He is so great that he must increase and I must decrease. I gave you just a little bit, but he's coming with the Holy Ghost. I'm about to act like a holiness preacher myself. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, he heard the voice. He saw the dove. He heard God say, he's mine. Oh, my. Preached in power. Preached in unction. And seen the results of it. But now he's the prisoner in the third cell. He's got a death sentence. And they're building a little apparatus outside the prison cell to cut his head off. And all of a sudden, he says, "Oh no. Oh no. Somebody come here. Go ask him." What do you want to go ask him for? You just heard God say, "Yeah, I know, but..." You just saw the dove. "Yeah, I know that, but that's before they put that death sentence on me. That's before I got locked up in this prison. I said a whole lot of stuff before I got to the hospital." About like saying you're going to do such and such when you ain't got no young'uns, and then when you get them, you lie. You do know who knows the most about young'uns, don't you? Them that ain't never had none. Like Barney. "If that was..." And he says, "Shut up, Barney. I don't want to hear no more about your imaginary son." It's like these evangelists shooting their mouth off about the preaching to church, and they ain't never pastored. And hoping to God some of them never become a pastor. In the name of Jesus, don't let it happen. There'll be another Holocaust. You hear me? I used to say, "Bless God, if I ever have young'uns, they ain't going to act like that at the restaurant. Bless God. Bless God, if me and my wife ever have young'uns, we're not going to let them bother us and come between us and affect our romantic life." I mean, it's one thing to lie, but when you double dog lie, that's real bad. Somebody said, "But wait a minute, John, you heard the voice. You saw the dove." I know, but that was before I got locked up in this prison cell. That's before they come and told me they're going to cut my hand off. I got a problem. I'm doubting. Go ask him. Is he the Christ? Well, he just heard God say he was. But that was before the prison. Go ask him. Is he the Christ? Shall we look for another? He got stranded on that island of doubt. Now, if Jesus would have been a Baptist preacher, independent, fundamental, premillennial Baptist preacher, he would have said, "Bless God, what do you mean? Am I the Christ? Bless God, didn't you hear that thundering from heaven? Didn't you see that? You stinking liver, you putrefied buzzard. What's your problem, bless you?" You know what the average church member's problem is? That nut in the pulpit. I'm trying to be nice. I'm not supposed to get excited. If he'd have been an old Baptist, he'd have said, "Bless God, you go tell that low-down egg-sucking dog." I said, "Bless God. If he had enough faith, he wouldn't be at..." Come on now.
You're right. Yeah.
Hello.
You're
right. He didn't do that. He didn't say... You go back and tell John he ain't even saved. He didn't do that either. He didn't say, "You go back and tell John, bless God, he needs to get that sin out of his life and he'd feel my presence." That servant went over there and said, "Jesus, I know you're busy and everything, but your preacher man over there has got a problem. He's over there on that lonely island of doubt and he's got some problems and he just wants to know." I'm about to run on that one and I ain't supposed to. He said... He just wants to know if you the Christ, or does he need to look for another one? And Jesus said, "Ma'am, you just go tell him that the blind is a seeing, and the lame is a walking, and them poor people's having the gospel preached to him. Oh, and one more thing, go tell him that I said, they ain't never been nobody born of a woman any greater than he." If Jesus would have been from Georgia, he'd have said, "You go tell him I said, he the man."
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, John's in that prison cell. He hears him sharpening that knife. He hears the rattling of the keys on the girdle of the jailer. He sees them building that place where they're going to take his head. He has heard other screams. He's seen the rats run across the dungeon floor. He knows he's next. And he's waiting. And he sees that messenger coming from a distance. And he's going, "I wonder what he said. I wonder what he said. Oh, I hope he's not mad at me. Oh, God, I hope he still loves me. And as a messenger approaches, John peeps through those bars and said, what did he say? What did he say? And I believe that little boy said, he said, you the man. Woo! He said, let me tell you what he said. He said, the lame is awoken, and the blind is a seeing. And then poor people give the gospel preached to him. And he also said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I believe before his jugular vein quit wiggling, he woke up in the paradise of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
How be it? You know what I love about this text? I preached on this several years ago. Oh, Herod and all that crowd thought they had cut the preacher's head off. And in doing so, silenced his voice. But one day, there came a man named Jesus. And he got to talking just like him. And Herod says, oh my God, he's back from the dead.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something else. When he went to sleep at night, cutting the preacher's head off didn't silence the voice. Oh! I want to tell you, we're saved. John was saved. He heard the voice. He saw the dove. He's in heaven now. He had God's providence, God's power, God's peace, God's presence, God's purpose. But that did not exempt him from the case of the doubts. We're going to make it. We're saved. God is good. God is real. He loves us. How be it? We must be cast upon a certain island. But I've not got time. I don't have all night, but let me just say this and I'm done. Doctor said, you preach 30 minutes. I said, I will. I will. Chapter 28, he's on that island. That was an old black preacher from down south. You ever seen that movie, White Men Can't Jump? Most of us can't preach neither. But you get a good black man full of God, he'll peel the paint off a wall. That old black preacher was preaching. He said, the Bible said that they all made it safe to land. Some on boards. And some on broken pieces of the ship. And you say, Rev, my life is all broken. Well, grab your piece and swim on. I wished I'd have said that first. They all made it safe to land. Every one of them. Every one of them. Even them that didn't believe God got saved because Paul believed God. They all made it safe to land. Nobody drowned. I see those men as they pulled themselves up out of that water, as they swam from that wrecked ship to the safety of that shore, and they all got to land. Glory. It was on that certain island where God proved His word was true. If it hadn't have been for that island, they'd have never known you can stake your life on the promises of God. Son, I see them old boys, they's pulling themselves out of that water. And they looked at each other and said, well, Paul was right, wasn't he? Paul was right. Said, now I doubted that thing a time or two. And when that ship broke, I didn't know if he was going to make it or not. And boy, that last fathom, when I had to swim, you know what? That old man of God's true, ain't he? His God is true. They found, well, glory, somebody ought to hallelujah right there. On that certain island, in the middle of nowhere, that's where they found out that God will keep His word. And on them islands, God will prove Himself to you. But on that certain island, God not only proved Himself, He proved His preacher. And they build this fire to warm themselves because their clothes are wet from being dumped into the water. And boy, they build a fire. And sure enough, just like a Baptist church, every time a fire gets started, here come the snakes. One of them latched hold of Paul. But instead of whining and complaining, he shook it off. I'm going to preach on that one day and preach on there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Ain't it? He shook it off and he put it back where it come from. And them heathen said, my God, that man's for real. The average man would have been dead, but look at him. He's real, isn't he? I don't know anything about your family, but it's probably like my family. You got some in it that ain't worth nothing. They don't believe God. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the church. And they don't believe you. They think you ain't nothing but a religious crackpot. They think you're drunk on pink lemonade from Jim Jones Distillery. They think you are a Holy Joe and a spiritual Susie. You're no fun anymore. You don't drink anymore. You don't smoke pot anymore. You don't run around anymore, you old party pooper Jesus freak. Bible thumper. Gospel singer lover. They think you are a fool to miss Sunday ball games and picnics and family reunions and go to church.
That's right.
Well, Scott, what you do, plan on staying all day? Yeah, both the Holy Ghost showed up, I would. Pay that preacher, bless God, to get in your face and holler at you. Fool. I bet they go back on Sunday. And if they got a revival, they'll go every night. Look at them. There they go. There they go. There they go. Yeah, one of these days Jesus is going to come and they're really going to say, there they go. They don't believe God. They don't believe the Bible. And they don't believe you. But you know what will happen? You'll get stranded on a certain island. They'll catch you in the hospital one day, or they'll catch you at the funeral home one day, or they'll catch you by a graveside one day, or they'll catch you by a weeping place one day. And it'll hit them. Oh my God. He's for real. My God, the average person would have broke under all of that. But look at him. Oh my, I've been wrong about him. He's for real. God not only proved himself on that certain island, but he proved his preacher. Now I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. In fact, as I said, I've already been seen there. I got the peace of God and the promise of God and the presence of God and the provision of God and the power of God and the protection of God all along the way.
Yeah.
Howbeit, I got to get on them islands. But it's on those certain islands where God proves himself to me and God proves me in the eyes of others.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For the island. Because not only does he sail oceans, but he inhabits desert places. When nobody else seems to be around, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Are you saved tonight? Do you know you're saved tonight? Are you on your way to heaven tonight? Do you know that you know that you know you're going? Isn't that wonderful? Howbeit, there's going to be some islands. But when God is on the island, he turns the howbeit into hallelujah ground. Because he's God. And he will not fail. We're standing together, our Father, in Jesus' name. We love you tonight. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your goodness towards us. And Lord, we thank you tonight that we know we're saved and Jesus is coming and we're going to make it. You said it in the Bible. But how be it, we're going to get on these little places, little deserted places. But God, help us to realize you're just as real on the island as you are on the ocean. Help some child of God tonight to have renewed faith in thee. Lift them above the shadows. do for them tonight what they cannot do for themselves. Lord, our dear brother, Brother Merritt's on one of those islands tonight. Oh God, prove yourself to him and prove him in the eyes of others. Lord, we don't enjoy the trial. We don't enjoy the hospital room. We don't enjoy the pain. But what you do for us and in us in that time is worth every mile of the trip. Thank you for the lovely island called the will of God. Help us to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, take charge of the service, please.